We're up to Perek Yudches, chapter 18. We're going to go through the whole parak to get a sense for the whole parak. It's 32 psukim. It's kind of long, and there are several interesting issues to deal with. There is one overarching philosophical issue in this parak, which we may only ask the question this week and have the discussion next week, because the parak is so long that in order to fully do the parak with all the other issues that are brought up, I don't know that we're going to have time to also deal with the major philosophical issue. So we'll go through the whole parak, we'll raise the problem, or most of you will probably raise the problem on your own, and then likely we will not have time tonight, so we'll do that next week. And Hashem spoke to me saying, "Ma lachem atem moshlim es hamashol hazeh al admat Yisrael lemar." Why are you? What is it with you that you are saying this mashal, this parable on the land of Yisrael, saying, "Avos yochlu boser"? The fathers eat boser. Boser means unripe grapes. V'shinei habanim tikena, and it is the teeth of the children that then are blunted. Which means, the mashal is, what Yisrael is saying is, that the parents, the first generation, they're eating unripe grapes, which is a mashal for doing averos. They do averos, and it is the children who have to pay for it. It is their teeth that are blunted. The children have to pay for the sins of their ancestors. That's the mashal they were saying. And the reason why they were saying this mashal was because there were so many kings that had done evil things. There were people who had done evil things. There had been Nevi'im who were saying that there would be punishment, and the punishment hadn't happened yet. So apparently the punishment was going to happen in future generations, that the descendants would be punished for the sins of the parents. So that is a perpetual argument. Each generation can say that we won't be punished. Our children will be punished for what we do. And the next generation can say the same thing. Meaning, if our parents weren't punished for their sins, and instead their sins are being visited on us, then apparently we won't be punished either. The sins will be visited on the children. And that goes on forever. Does this remind you of a story or an argument that is found in Chumash? I'll give you a hint. It's in Brachos. What's that? Well, okay, Cain, seven generations. After Cain killed Havel, Hashem said that after Cain did tshuva, did partial tshuva, so Hashem said the punishment will be withheld for seven generations. So when it came to his seventh generation, which was Tuval Cain, and Lamech, his father, Lamech was the sixth generation, killed Tuval Cain. So at that point, the wives of Lamech separated from Lamech because they said, clearly the klala is coming true. Now the descendants of Cain are going to be wiped out. And Lamech said that if for Cain, he shivasai yukom Cain, Cain was, Hashem said that he won't punish him for seven generations. So he said, the Lamech, so for me, because his sin was not as great as Cain's, and Cain had killed on purpose. Lamech had killed by accident. So Lamech said, if for Cain it was seven generations, so for me, shivim v'shiva, which doesn't mean 77, it means many sevens. If for him it was seven generations, for me it'll be many sevens of generations before I'll be punished. So Rashi says over there in Chumash, that is a kavachomish al shtus. That is a reasoning of foolishness. Because if that were true, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can never collect his debt. So that can't be. So here, Klal Yisrael is essentially buying into the same argument. If our ancestors weren't punished, and instead the punishment was pushed off to future generations, which is us, well then we won't be punished either. And it will be pushed off to future generations down the line. And that's a perpetual argument. Chai ani nu Hashem Elokim, Hashem says, I swear, im yelachem od mashal mashal azeh b'Yisrael, if you will be able to say this mashal again in Yisrael. We are in Perek Yudches, chapter 18, Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Hein kol nefashos lihena, behold, all the souls are mine. Kenefesh ha'av, kenefesh ha'bein lihena, the soul of the father, the soul of the son, they are mine. Hanefesh HaChotesi Samus, the soul that sins, it will die. You can't say that it will be pushed off to future generations. If this generation sins, then they will be punished. V'ish ki yat tzaddik, if a man is a tzaddik, v'asa mishpat utztaka, he does righteousness, and he does the right thing, he does righteousness. El heharim lo achol, he doesn't eat from the mountains. Ve'inav lo nasa el yulei beis Yisrael, he doesn't lift up his eyes to the disgusting things of beis Yisrael. Ve'es eishes re'ehu lo time, and the wife of his friend he does not defile. Ve'el isha nida lo yikrav, he does not approach a woman who is a nida. El heharim lo achol means he does not worship idols. That he doesn't lift his eyes to the mountain. He doesn't eat from the mountains, which is referring to idolatry. And ve'inav lo nasal, yulei beis Yisrael, is another form of idolatry. He doesn't lift his eyes to the disgusting things of beis Yisrael. Eishes ve'eyu lo time is pretty obvious. Doesn't commit adultery. Ve'alisha nida lo yikrav, he does not approach a woman who's a nida. Also doesn't commit that sin. Ve'ish lo yoneh, and he does not doesn't do ona'a to another man. Ona'a would mean to harm another man financially. Chavolasol chov yashiv, he returns that which he borrowed, the debts that he owes. Gizelalo yigzol, he doesn't steal anything. Lachmo l'ra'iv yitain, he gives his bread to the hungry. Ve'erom yachaset baget, and those who are unclothed, he covers with clothing. Baneshech lo yitain, he does not give his money with interest. Ve'sarabis lo lakach, he doesn't take interest. Me'avel yashiv yado, he removes his hand from iniquity. Mishpat emes yaseh, he does true judgment. Bein ish le'ish, between man and man. V'chukosai yehalech, in my statutes he will go. U'mishpatai shamar la'asos emes, and he'll guard my laws to do truth. Tzadik hu, he is a tzadik. Chayo yecheh, he will live. Mi'um Hashem Elokim, says Hashem God. So this is a description of a tzadik where he does everything correctly, doesn't do any of these things that are wrong. Now, the Gemara points out that going back to Pasuk Vav, verse 6, he doesn't commit sins, he doesn't commit avodah zarah, idolatry, he doesn't commit adultery, he doesn't go to a woman who's in nida. Those are pretty serious averos. We're trying to describe here a tzaddik gomer, someone who's a complete tzaddik. So is a complete tzaddik someone who doesn't do these terrible sins? Wouldn't, in order to be considered a complete tzaddik, wouldn't a person have to be much better than that? So the Gemara says these words really have a double meaning. It's true they do refer to these terrible sins, but they also refer to subtleties. El heharim lo achal, he did not eat from the mountains, means he did not need to eat from the mountains. The mountains refers to... So that's what it was referring to until now, but in the double meaning, the mountains we've had before, referring to a good thing. Referring to... What's that?
The Avos.
Referring to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He is such a tzaddik, he didn't need to eat from them. He didn't need their zechus. He was able to survive without relying on them. Ve'inav lo nasa al gilei beis Yisrael. He didn't lift up his eyes. That's a reference to haughtiness. He wasn't haughty. He didn't walk around with his eyes held high. He didn't walk around with his nose in the air. That would be ve'inav lo nasa al gilei beis Yisrael. That's Ashes Re'ehu lo time, he did not defile the wife of his friend. The Gemara says that's a reference to encroaching on another person's business. A person has a livelihood and someone else opens a similar business and encroaches on his livelihood. So even that this person doesn't do. It doesn't even encroach on someone else's livelihood. He's careful and with his way of making a living, it doesn't encroach on anybody else's. Now, Isha Nida lo yikrav, he does not approach a woman who is a Nida. This will be somewhat shocking. The Gemara says this is a reference to not taking tzedakah. Not taking tzedakah from the kupa shel tzedakah. Now how would that be connected to Ve'el Isha Nida lo yikrav? It's a little bit difficult, that one. The other ones, we understand, not defiling the wife of his friend, not encroaching on somebody else's livelihood. Okay, we can understand some kind of connection over there. Taking what it belongs to somebody else. Not lifting up his eyes. to, it would be not being haughty, not needing the mountains, which means not needing the zuchosavas, so we understand those things. What about Val Isha Nida Lo Yikrov, referring to not taking tzedakah? Okay, that's good. That's good. Let me first tell you what the halacha is. Why shouldn't he take tzedakah if he's poor? Shouldn't he take tzedakah? So there's actually, there are four different categories in tzedakah, ranging from, well, I won't, it's not from best to worst, but you'll see it goes in an order. If a person is wealthy and tricks people into thinking that he's poor, and as a result gets tzedakah, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that he will not leave this world before he actually becomes poor and will actually need tzedakah. And that's true for anybody who tricks people in these sorts of ways. Someone who pretends to be lame, pretends to be blind, etc. The Mishnah says that in order to take advantage of people, the Mishnah says that they will then not leave this world before that actually happens to them. That's the worst. Or that's one extreme. A little bit less extreme is a person who is needy, legitimately needy, but has a way of making a living, but it's somewhat demeaning to him. It's difficult. Not just difficult, it's a little bit demeaning. The Gemara says, "Pshot nevel of a shuk," better to skin a corpse in the market, skin an animal in the market, rather than take tzedakah. Which means that even though it may be beneath a person's dignity to skin an animal, it is a menial task. So even though that may be so, it's better to do that than to take tzedakah. So if a person there chooses to take tzedakah rather than do the menial task, he's not doing an avera, he's going against the advice of Chazal. Because taking tzedakah is also demeaning. So what's more demeaning? So Chazal is saying, it's demeaning to take tzedakah, it's better to do a demeaning job than it is to take tzedakah. If a person chooses to take tzedakah rather than take the demeaning job, he's not tricking people, it's legitimate, but it's not, he's not doing the best thing. From the perspective of those who are giving the tzedakah, he is a valid recipient of tzedakah. Because he needs. From his perspective, he is not doing what Chazal are recommending is the better thing for him to do. Better thing for himself, better thing for his family, better thing for his soul, better thing for him in this world, for the next world. Better that he would not take the tzedakah. Instead, he would take the demeaning job. But the demeaning job, right. But it is not an aveira for him to take the tzedakah. Just one caveat over there. The Taz writes, that is not so when it would be a bizayon ha-Torah. If the person is recognized Talmud Chacham, then he has to be careful because it's not only his honor at stake, it's the honor of the Torah at stake. So if it's just his honor, the Gemara is saying, better a person should lower themselves to take the demeaning job than to lower themselves to take the tzedakah. But when the Torah is at stake, it may be better to take the tzedakah than the job. So that would be obviously a judgment call of what's considered to be demeaning and what's considered to be a bizarre in HaTorah. As I explained to my Chabura, my group that's learning tzedakah, the way I understand that is not so much the case of the skinning the animal, because that was said to a Talmud Chacham in the Gemara. But that I understand to be if the job, for instance, is in a location where you would not expect a Talmud Chacham to be found. And I used the example when I taught this to them, that let's say there was a job to work at the ticket counter at a movie theater. So for a Talmud Chacham to be found over there, it's not a place for a Talmud Chacham to be. That may be a bizayon ha-Torah. Even though the job itself is a terrible job, but there it may be, I'm not saying this as a psak halach, I'm saying as a possibility, that may be something which it would be better for him to take tzedakah than to take such a job. Because that would maybe be Zion HaTorah. That's the way I understand that category. But at any rate, this is the second level. The second level is a person who has an alternative, but the alternative is the meaning, and instead takes tzedakah. That's not the best thing, but it's not Navera. Then you have a person, I'm skipping one level, then you have a person The most extreme on the other end is a person who needs tzedakah, and if he doesn't take the tzedakah, then there will be serious consequences, permanent consequences. He will starve, his children will starve, the Taz adds, he won't be able to marry off his children, things of that nature where there is permanent damage to himself or to others, then he needs to take the tzedakah. And if he does not take the tzedakah, it's an avera. There's a very strong language used in the Shulchan Aruch. If he doesn't take the tzedakah, all of his suffering is considered a sin. He gets no benefit from his suffering. The reason, why is he not taking the tzedakah? He says, I don't want to take the tzedakah. I don't want to do it. It would be a sin for him not to take the tzedakah in that case. And then you have a category, which is, I guess we call it the best of the categories, but this is between the two I just mentioned, that you have a person who really is needy and has no alternative. But he certainly is a valid tzedakah recipient, and nobody would begrudge it if he would take tzedakah. However, by not taking the tzedakah, he's going to suffer, but it's not considered a permanent suffering. For example, as I told the group learning tzedakah, for example, let's say if he doesn't take the tzedakah, he won't be able to run the air conditioning in the summer. He will have to keep his heating very low in the winter. Not to the point where he would get sick, but he will be very uncomfortable. The food that he would have to eat would be very low quality food, not necessarily not nutritious, but he certainly wouldn't be comfortable. His clothing wouldn't be comfortable. He wouldn't have a car. He'd have to walk everywhere. Things of that nature. So there, those sorts of things, a person is certainly entitled to take tzedakah if he has no alternative. But there, the Gemara says that if the person chooses instead to suffer and not burden the tzibur, not burden the community with having to support him, that is very laudable. That's a tremendous tzaddik. That's a person who's going to get tremendous schar. And there the Mishnah says he will not leave this world before he is able to provide for others. And Hashem will make that person wealthy and he'll be able to provide for others. So that's a category he doesn't take tzedakah, and it's a very good thing he doesn't take tzedakah. So those are the four categories of people and tzedakah. This lofty level of the person who really is able to take it, but doesn't because they'd rather not burden anybody else, and instead they're going to suffer, that's a person that obviously would have to take into account the person's family. If it's a person, if the husband chooses to do that but the wife doesn't, or the wife chooses to do that and the husband doesn't, then they can't do it because then it's hurting somebody else. But if the two of them together decide this is what they want to do, they're entitled to take that position to say we're going to suffer and not take tzedakah, and they're allowed to do that, and it is a tremendous zechus if they do. If they take the tzedakah, there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly acceptable for them to take tzedakah in that case. So those are your four categories of tzedakah. So now over here, where it says this person is such a tzaddik that he doesn't take tzedakah. So which category are we referring to? We must be talking about that last one I just mentioned. Because the other ones either are not allowed to take tzedakah, must take tzedakah, or it's better that they don't, but they can, you know, it's one of those in-between things. But this, when we're talking about a tzaddik gomor, talking about someone who is a tremendous tzaddik, this last case must be this category of person who really is entitled to take tzedakah, but doesn't. Because he says, I don't want to burden anybody else. So then how is that compared to ve'alisha nida lo yikrav? Approaching a woman who is a nida would be not optional. That would be a tremendous avera for a husband to approach his wife and she's a nida. So then, how is it comparable to this case of the person who really could take tzedakah but doesn't?
Maybe because he wants his children to have so much joy. If he wants his suffering, because if he makes tzedakah, he can't give Hashem a joy.
Here we're talking about a good thing, he doesn't take the tzedakah.
Right. But
You're adding a bad thing in there. He was talking about he's a tzaddik gomer. He doesn't take the stuff.
He thinks it's a good thing that he shouldn't take the stuff. He doesn't want to call it on it.
Well, then you should take the tzedakah.
Right.
The person who opts for this has to say, I'm going to do it, I'm going to be happy doing it.
I'm happy doing it.
Yeah. No exception. So, let's translate the words. Ve'alish anida lo yikrav. To a woman who's anida, he will not, what yikrav mean?
Won't
come close. So, lo yikrav could be a lashon nekia, it could be a clean way of writing that he won't have a physical relationship. But lo yikrav could also mean won't even come close, which means he'll keep his distance from a woman who's a nida. Now you all know that in the laws of nida we have something called harchakos, which are distances that Chazal established to keep a husband and wife apart from each other at that time. And they are much more stringent than simply not having a physical relationship. So here, the way I understand this is that the analogy is to the person who is super careful when his wife is a nida. Not just, obviously, not to do the aveira, which is pashut, if we're talking about someone who is a tzaddik gomer. But we're talking about a person who is extra careful to be super careful not to even come close to his wife who is a nida, that when she's in that state, that they remain apart and they keep the harchakos, the separations, scrupulously. So that's a situation where a person is staying away from something more than they really have to, more than they need to. Now, I'm not trying to say that with harchakos, that one does not need to keep them. One does need to keep them. They are xeris derabanan. But this sounds like it's even more than that. It's being super careful in this area. So with the tzedakah, that would be analogous to this person who really could take the tzedakah, but doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want to burden society. He wants to stay away from it, and so he treats society as an isha nida, meaning he could take money from society, but he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to burden them, so he stays away to the point where he suffers in order not to take the tzedakah. So this would be the tzaddik gomer. So this pasuk vav has four averos that are mentioned, and on the one hand they are terrible averos, and on the other hand they are also very subtle averos. Regarding the tzaddik gomer, the one who's a complete tzaddik, we mean the very subtle averos that he even keeps away from those things. So we describe this tzaddik in Pesukim Vav Zayin Aches 6, 7, and 8, and 9. We describe the tzaddik gomer, and Hashem says he will live. Now, starting with Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Vahu min bein paritz shofech dam, he gives birth, or he bears a son, who is a paritz, who's wild, and he's a murderer. Va'asa ach me'achad me'ela, he does to his brothers one of these things that we mentioned before, that the tzaddik doesn't do. This son of the tzaddik does these things to one of his brothers, to one of his fellow Jews. Vahu es kol ela lo asa. And he doesn't do all of the above, which means he doesn't keep away from all of the above like the tzaddik. Kigam el harim achal, he ate from the mountains, which in this case means not just that he used the skus avos, but it means that he worshipped avodah zarah. Ve'aseishes reyehu timei, and he defiled the wife of his friend, which means he committed adultery. Ani ve'evion hona, he harmed a poor person. Gzelos gazol, he stole. Chavolo yashiv, he did not return a collateral. And he lifted his eyes to the disgusting things, which would mean to Avodah Zarah. He did abominations, which Rashi tells us what's an abomination. Mishkav Zachar, which is homosexuality. He committed that as well. He gave his money with interest. And he took interest. He will live, he will not live. He did all of these abominations. Most you must, he will surely die. Damav bo yiyeh, his blood will be in himself, which means he'll be liable for his own death. So, even though the father was very righteous, but since the son is very evil, the son will die. V'inei holy bein, but then he gives birth to a son. V'yaret kol chatos aviv asher asa, he sees all the sins of his father that he did. V'yir'en, he was, and he saw, v'lo yaseh bohen, kain, he doesn't want to do like them. He doesn't want to eat from the mountains. He doesn't lift his eyes to the disgusting things of Beis Yisrael. He does not defile the wife of his friend. He does not harm any other man. He doesn't take collateral, or takes and doesn't, he doesn't take it and not return it. He doesn't steal. Lachmol de ra'iv nasan, he gave his bread to the hungry. Ve'irom kisavagin, and those who are unclothed, he covered with clothing. Me'ani heishiv yadel, he removed his hand from harming a poor person. Neshech v'sarbis lo'lakach, and different types of interest he did not take. Mishpatai asa, he did my statutes. Bechukosai Allah, he went in my laws. Hu lo yamus, he will not die. Ba'avon aviv, with the sins of his father. He will not die for the sins of his father, rather, chayo yecheh, he will surely live. Aviv, his father, ki ashak oshek, gazal, gezel, ach, when he did all these types of theft, va'ashelo tova sabasochamav, and he did not do good in the sight of his nation, v'inei meisavano, he dies in his sins, but not the son. So here Hashem has depicted a three generations of tzaddik, rasha tzaddik, an extreme tzaddik, an extreme Rasha and an extreme Tzaddik. The extreme Tzaddikim will live, and the extreme Rasha will die. And they will not be held to the other ones, to the other ones, well, how are they did, depending on each one's
behavior,
that's right. Right? V'amar Temi will say, Madua lo nasa habein bavon ha'av. Why shouldn't the son carry the sins of the father? The habein nishpat mitzvaka asa, but the son did righteousness. Es kuchokasai shamar, he kept all of my statutes. Vayasel sam, he did them. Chayo yechir, that's where he will live. Hanefesh achotes hisavus, the soul that sins, it will die. Bein lo yisav avon ha'av, a son will not carry the sins of the father. Va'av lo yisav avon habein, the father will not carry the sins of the son. Tzidkas ha-tzadik, alav tiyah, that's righteousness of the tzadik will be on him. V'rishas ha-rasha, alav tiyah, and the evil of the rasha will be on him. Now, the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos wants to know if from this pasuk, ha-nefesh ha-chotes hi-samus, the soul that sins, it will die. The Gemara first suggests from here, ein misa b'lochet. One cannot die without sinning. Because it says, ha-nefesh ha-chotes, hi-samus. The soul that sins will die. So one cannot die without sin. There has to be some sin in order to die. It doesn't mean a person has to do a sin for which he is chayav misa. That would be a sin for which a person has to die before his time. But that's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara means in order to die in a person's time, when a person is meant to die, there has to be a sin. If a person is a tzaddik gomor, a complete tzaddik, they can't die. There has to be some sin in order for the malach ha-maves, in order for the angel of death to get the person. There has to be some sin involved. That's what the Gemara first suggests. The Gemara though asks a question on this. Anybody remember what the question would be? Okay, so the Gemara says, Dalid Mesu Be'itav Shalmachash. Four people died Be'itav, which means in the Eitzah, because of the actions or the advice of the Nachash. Because of the snake that he got Chava and then Adam to eat from the Eitzah Das, that's why they died. Who are the four? Yisha, the father of David. Kilav, the son of David. That's the hard one. Good. Huh? Kilav, the son of David. Yisha, the father of David. Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Binyamin, the son of Yaakov Avinu. Yeah, those are the four that the Gemara lists. Now, there is another list of those who entered Gan Eden alive. That's a different list, and that's a different Gemara, and it has to do with a different discussion. So we're not discussing those people here. We're discussing these four, but the Gemara says they only died Be'itav Shal Nachash. Because of what happened with the snake. Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, Yishai, the father of David, Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Kilav, the son of David HaMelech. Those are the four.
Didn't Kilav die earlier? I mean, didn't he one of the ones that he was born, but they figured that he died early because he's not mentioned later?
Because he... Well, here it's not talking about.
It doesn't matter when they got it.
Could be the original zero was to have a short life. Right? David Melch speaks of Kilav as being a tremendous Talmid Chacham. Yeah. So Kilav had another name. The other name was Daniel.
Oh, okay.
That's not the same Daniel. It was much later. Who's also from Shevet Yehuda. He's from the line of the Melchs. Yeah. Right. So the Gemara says they did not do a sin, and they only died because of this, because of the Nachash. So you see then that a person can die without sin. That's what the Gemara says. So therefore, this pasuk can't mean that a person does not die without sin. So then the question is, what does the pasuk mean? So anybody want to take a stab at it? The Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara cites the pasuk and says, well, you see that you can't die without sin. The Gemara says, no, it's not true, because you see these poor people died without sin. But the Gemara never goes back to say, well, then what does the pasuk mean? Did you have a question?
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Because when you say that the son is going to suffer from his father, but he's got his father's reputation and people are going to think of him in a certain way and treat him in a certain way, so he's still carrying the sin of his father, even though he's choosing to act in a much better way, he has to fight against.
Okay. I assume that the pasuk means from Shamayim. And if from heaven, they're not going to hold him accountable for what the father did. So anybody want to suggest a way to read this pasuk that it does not mean that one has to sin in order to die?
From the context.
Yeah, good.
It seems that it's saying that the person's going to die for his own sin and not because of anyone else's.
Okay.
The person who doesn't sin won't die. Right. In context.
Good. So it doesn't mean that one has to sin in order to die. It just means that the person who sinned will die for his sins, as opposed to the person who didn't sin, meaning this person's father or son, who didn't commit the sins, they will not die because of his sins. So it doesn't mean that the person who didn't sin can't die. It means the person who didn't sin won't die because of the sins of the person who did sin. That's what it means to say. But nevertheless, when a person gets to the end of their days, they will die, even if they did not sin. Okay. Now, Chaf Aleph, 21. V'harasha ki yashuv mikol chatosav asher asah, the evil person, when he will return from all of the sins that he did, v'shamar es kol chukosai, he will keep all of my laws, v'asa mishpat etzdaka, he'll do righteousness, chayo yechyeh, then he will live, lo yomus, he will not die. Kol sha'av asher asah, all the iniquities that he did, lo yizachu lo, they will not be remembered for him, in the righteousness that he did, he will live, even though he had originally sinned. But if he then did teshuvah, he will live. And this next pasuk should be familiar to you. Tell me from where. Hechafotz echpotz mos rasha. Do I want, Hashem says, do I want the death of a rasha? Neum Hashem Elokim, says Hashem God. Halo b'shuvah midracha v'chaya. What I really want is I want him to return from his ways and live. I don't want him to die. I have no vendetta against sinners. If a person doesn't do teshuvah, I have to kill them. But I don't want that. What I want is that they should live. Where's that from? Yeah. Good. We say that on Yom Kippur. Uvishuv tzadik mitzid kaso v'asa avel. And when a tzadik returns, the word return, we always say means a good thing, to do teshuvah. But the truth is, return just means to not do what you've been doing until now. So it can be used negatively as well. Uvishuv tzadik mitzid kaso, and a tzadik returns or turns away from his righteousness, va'asa avel, he does iniquities, kechol ha'toivos asher asah ha'rasha, and all the abominations that the rasha did, ya'aseh he'll do, v'chay, will he live? Kol tzidkosav asher asah lo tzidzacharna, all the righteousness that he did will not be remembered, b'ma'alo asher mo'al, in the rebellion that he's rebelled, v'chataso asher chata, and in the sins that he has sinned, bam yamus, he will die because of them. So the tzaddik who stops being a tzaddik will die. The rasha who does teshuva will live. The tzaddik who stops being a tzaddik will die. The Gemara tells us two things over here. First of all, when it says that he returns from his tzidkus and his righteousness will not be remembered, that seems to be contradictory to other statements in the Gemara. The Gemara, for instance, says Hashem never forgets the tzidkus a person does. A person does a mitzvah, a person always gets rewarded for that mitzvah. Even a rasha who does a mitzvah always gets rewarded. Hashem never, for example, He never cancels out averas for mitzvahs. Let's say a person has, we'll use just numbers as a scale, he has 30 averos and he has 50 mitzvahs. So, we could say, you know what, I don't want to get punished. Punishment is painful. I don't want to get punished. So, let Hashem cancel out 30 for 30, and I'll be left with 20 mitzvahs and no averos. Then I don't get any punishments. Hashem doesn't do that. Hashem punishes for the 30, and then rewards for the 50. Why does He do that? Because it would be cheating the person to not reward them for what they did. To cancel out, to use the reward for a mitzvah, to cancel out the punishment for an avera would cheapen the reward. The reward is much better than that. Simply to take away a punishment, we think punishment is bad. It is bad, and it is painful. But the reward, if you want to call it the pleasure of the reward, is so great to waste it on simply canceling out a punishment that we wouldn't want that. If we really knew what it was, it would be too cheap. That would be fair. So Hashem never does that. So to say over here that His tzidkus, His righteousness, will not be remembered is difficult. What does it mean it won't be remembered? So the Gemara says, this is referring to a tzaddik who regrets that he ever did the mitzvos. It's not that he just started going down the wrong path, but he looks back at his old life of having done all that righteousness. Oh, what a terrible life I had. All those good times I missed out on because I was such a tzaddik. I wish I had been a rush all of those years. I could have had such a better time with my life. I wasted all my young years where I could have really had a blast, and I wasted them as being a tzaddik. That's what it's talking about over here. But even so, Rav Chanan Wasserman Zechon Racha has a very interesting presentation. And he says as follows. I may have told this to you in the past, but it's been a long time if I have. I know I haven't been here that long, but it's been probably a year if I have shared this with you. He bases this on some psukim in Shmos. But the Rav Chanan writes that for every mitzvah and every avera, there's really two things that we're rewarded for and two things that we're punished for. For every mitzvah, there's two things that we're rewarded for, and for every avera, there's two things that we're punished for. For every mitzvah, there's two things that we're rewarded for. One is the mitzvah itself. Because a mitzvah that Hashem tells us to do is not simply some meaningless act that is simply a mitzvah because God said to do it. Like, theoretically, if God would appear to us and say, I want you all to stand on your head, it would then be a mitzvah to stand on our head. But is standing on your head itself beneficial? Not necessarily. It's just that that's what He said to do, so we do it. But we understand that Tanya'ag mitzvahs, the 630 mitzvahs, aren't like that. It's not just meaningless acts that Hashem is saying, do what I ask, and that way I'll reward you because you did what I asked. It's not just that. It's that when we do those things, they are inherently good for us. They are inherently being misakein, they are correcting us and helping us along, and giving us shleimus, giving us perfection. The actual act itself, when we do a mitzvah, is like that. When we keep Shabbos, we recite or listen to the recitation of Kiddush on Shabbos, that Kiddush is, we're getting two good things from it. We're listening to Hashem, that's one, and two, we're having Kiddush. Kiddush itself is good for us. It's spiritually a very positive thing for us. You want to call it spiritual medicine, you want to call it spiritual nutrition, but whatever it is good for our souls. It's not simply we're listening to God. It's both things together. Every avera, conversely, has both things as well. Anytime a person sins, they are, number one, rebelling against Hashem. They're rejecting God. But it's not simply that. The act itself is damaging to ourselves. It's not just that we rebelled against God, but the act itself has inherently a way of damaging ourselves spiritually. Each act has both. So he writes that if a person regrets what he did in the past, if a person has charata, he regrets what he did in the past, that can change the part that is rebellious or listening to Hashem. Those are the parts that can change based on his charata, based on his rejecting the past. But that he damaged himself or corrected himself, that's inherent. That's not going to change. So for example, let's take it in the positive light first. We know that to do teshuva, this I'm really adding something that my Rosh Yeshiva, Zachar Baruch Rabbi Weinberg, said, that we know that in order to do proper teshuva before Yom Kippur, it requires several steps. You have to regret the sin, you have to admit the sin, and you have to resolve never to do it again. Let's say a person only has charata. All they do is they regret the sin. That's it. They don't have the other parts. So Rav Chanan explains that's still enough to get rid of the part of the sin which was rebelling against Hashem. If he regrets having rebelled against Hashem, then it will get rid of that part of the sin. But it will not get rid of the inherent damage that the sin did. That requires more. So similarly over here, when the tzaddik regrets having been a tzaddik, that will uproot that which he did correctly, meaning listening to Hashem. He regrets having ever listened to Hashem. But it will not uproot the inherent good that he did for his soul when he did this mitzvah. That can't be changed. So that's one point over here. When it says, "Shuv tzaddik mitzikasa," that he regrets what he did, that gets rid of one aspect, one of the two aspects of having done a mitzvah. But there's something else the Gemara points out from over here. The Gemara in Brachos has actually a disagreement, a machlokas. Is it possible for someone who has been a tzaddik their entire life, is it possible for that person to, as we say, go off the derech? Could that person then leave Yiddishkeit? Could that person start doing evil, chas v'shalom? Is it possible? Is it possible? The Gemara concedes that if a person was not a tzaddik their whole life, then it certainly is possible. But what if a person was, I'm not talking here FFB, I'm talking, but never did a sin. They were, you know, they were righteous their entire lives for many, many years, and now they're in their older years. Is it possible for them to leave Torah and mitzvahs? So give me some examples. I like that one. Well, we don't know if that person was righteous from the beginning. We have no idea. But give me some examples of what we know.
I can't remember when the gentleman came who was supposed to be Mashiach, and then he ended up turning to the other side. So obviously, if people think you're Mashiach, you're righteous.
Well, that was. Are you talking about? You're talking about Bar Kokhba? Are you talking about Shabtai Tzvi? Well, we don't know if he was really righteous. He certainly gave the impression that he was, but we don't know for sure. We have to go back to cases in the Gemara or Tanakh to know for sure, because then the Chazal tell us. Yeah, we don't know that either. Right, you're right that he was good in the beginning and then he went off. That's true, but we don't know how long it took or where he was at. That's true. How about a case of Navi? Well, this is not such a good example. I was going to say Shaul HaMelech, who was, we know, until he was 52 years old, never did a sin. But he didn't go off the derech. He just did a couple of sins. Right. Right. The Gemara tells us, Yochanan Kohen Gadol was Kohen Gadol for 80 years. That means for 80 years, he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. That's for 80. That means he lived out 80 years. Now, you understand, there is a mistake. People have a misconception. If a Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur and he didn't deserve to be there, like in the second Beis HaMikdash, where they often bought the position. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was in the second Beis HaMikdash, but frequently they would buy the position. The Gemara doesn't say that they would die in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, even though it's true they would tie a string to the person's leg just in case he would die. But that wasn't necessarily the case. What the Gemara says is that he wouldn't live out the year. He wouldn't make it to the next Yom Kippur. That was the call-up for the person who didn't deserve to be there and went in. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol made it through 80 years of Yom Kippurs. So obviously, he was a good guy. But in the end of his life, he became a tzaduki. He went off. So the Gemara says from there, it would seem that even a person who's very righteous, in the end, could go off.
But would you get crazy?
What's that?
A person like that, happened, it seems to me there was something wrong. Is it a choice that the person?
He wouldn't be held accountable if he was insane.
Yeah,
It would have to be a choice.
I can't say it after.
Yeah, it would be pretty shocking. Right? I mean, that's really what the Gemara is pointing out. But the Gemara retorts that that's no proof because there is an opinion that Yochanan Kohen Gadol started off as a Rasha. When he was younger, he was a Rasha. He then became a Tzaddik. And then for 80 years, he was a Tzaddik. He obviously lived a long life. And at the very end, he went back to being a Rasha. But there's a difference of opinion. That's one opinion. The other opinion is that no, he was a Tzaddik from the beginning. But the proof that one of the proofs that even someone who's a tzaddik from the beginning could go off the derech is from this pasuk. Uveshuv tzaddik mitzikaso. This is ostensibly referring to the tzaddik that we described before, the person who was a tzaddik all his life and in the end goes off. And the truth is, although the Gemara ends up with a machlokas, ends up with a disagreement whether it's possible or not, and this is something which we really can't prove, because we don't know anybody who has always been a tzaddik and never did anything wrong. We'd have to know someone, and then chas v'shalom see that person go off the derech, which would be a terrible thing for us to witness. It would destroy anybody's faith to see something like that happen. So we hope never to see that, and would be very difficult to prove one way or another. But the Gemara's conclusion is a machlokes, but the main opinion is that it can happen. That it can happen. No one's safe. Al tamen ba'atzmacha ad yom moscha. Do not rely on yourself. Don't trust in yourself till the day you die. You're never above sin. You're never above the possibility of sin. Anybody can sin at any time. A person has to always be vigilant against the Yetzer Hara. Now we do have examples. For example, with David HaMelech, he says in Tehillim, Libi cholo bekirbi, my heart is dead inside of me. Which Chazal take to mean, his heart means his Yetzer Hara. Don't go after your heart, meaning your Yetzer Hara. His heart was dead inside of him. David HaMelech had destroyed his Yetzer Hara. His Yetzer Hara no longer had any power over him. He completely wiped it out with his tzidkus. Now remember, David HaMelech is of the most righteous people to ever have lived. So we're not talking about just any person. We're talking about David HaMelech, who's of the greatest. And he destroyed his Yetzer Hara. So the Gemara says, though, that so what does that mean? So that means he can't ever sin. If a person can't ever sin, then really they have no purpose of living anymore. Because the whole purpose of living is to struggle and overcome and get rewarded for it and get closer to Hashem. But if a person has no struggle, then what's the purpose of being here anymore? So the Gemara says there's really two different Yetzer Haras. There is the typical Yetzer Hara, which is the one that all of us regular people struggle with all the time. That's what, you name it. Whatever, put into your minds, whatever Yetzer Hara that we struggle with, whether it's going to be a taiva, a desire, whether it's going to be a mida, or a temper, or gaiva, or kavod, whatever it is that we struggle with, all that is our regular Yetzer Hara. Because we haven't gotten to that level of destroying the regular Yetzer Hara. But if a person destroys the regular Yetzer Hara, they are given a Yetzer Hara she'ena tivi. They're given a Yetzer Hara that is unnatural. And the Gemara says there's a difference between the two. And I once heard this from... How does it, okay, I share this with you? I had this question in Mesilas Yesharim, The Path of the Just. There is a stira, there is a contradiction. In one place he writes that if a person would only have his sponinus, if a person would only contemplate, take time out of the day every day to think about where they're coming from, where they're going, where they're at, then over a course of time, they would defeat their Yetzer Hara. And all the Yetzer Hara wants us to do is keep us busy enough that we don't stop to think. That's all he wants to do. Because if we stop to think, he's finished. Over a course of time, we'll defeat him that way. In another place, the Mesilas Yesharim writes that you can't beat him. It's impossible. He's too powerful. Without Hashem's intervention, we can't beat him. So which one is it? Is it natural that we can beat him, or is it unnatural that we can beat him? So I was in St. Louis on a seed program when I was a bacher many years ago, and I met Rav Moshe Aaron Stern, Zechon Ravacha. He was there visiting, and I asked him this question, and he answered, he seemed to have had the same question, he answered right away that he asked this to Rav Elia Lapian, Zechon Ravacha, who said, b'shem the Vilna Gaon, that... Right, you see, I remember this. The Sefer Shem is only going this answer, that the natural Yetzer Hara, the one that we all struggle with, that's the one that if we would simply stop and think every day and think about where we are, what we're going, etc., we'll defeat it over time. But the unnatural one, it can't be without Hashem's help. And everybody has that. Even David HaMelech, who had defeated the regular Yetzer Hara, but he has the unnatural one. Because a person has to have it, otherwise there's no point in being in the world. So it's a different type of Yetzer Hara. It's the Yetzer Hara which is much more intellectual than I guess than physical. It's much more a question of a judgment call. So that is true that everybody has that struggle. And anybody can go off the derech. A person always has to be vigilant and always has to be careful. So that it can always happen. Pasuk Chavchas, I want to finish the parak, and then I will leave you with the philosophical issue we have to deal with for next week. Yetzahara, well, it's he told me she'ena tivi, like from the word teva. Teva means nature. She'ena, it's not tivi, it's not natural. Tes veiz ayin yud. Va'amartem, Pasuk Chavchas 28. Va'amartem, and you said, lo yitachin derech Hashem. The way of Hashem is not correct. That you said you don't like the way I run the world. Shimuna beis Yisrael, listen to me, beis Yisrael. Hadarki lo yitachin. Is it my way that's not correct? Halo darcheichem lo yitachin. It's your way that's not correct. B'shuv tzadik mitzidkaso v'asa avel. When the tzadik goes back from his tzidkus and he does iniquity, umeis aleim, and he dies on them. Ba'avlo asher asay amus. It is with his sin that he did that he dies. When the Rasha goes back on his rishus, Bayas Mishpat Tzedaka, he does righteousness. Who es nafsho yichya, he will cause his soul to live. I'm sorry, it wasn't Chavchas, it was Chavchas I started with. I read the 25. Now we're up to Chavchas 28. Vayire vayashav mikol pshav asher asa, and he saw and he returned from all of his iniquities that he did. Kol yichya lo yamus, he will certainly live, he will not die. Ba'amu Beis Yisrael, and the house of Yisrael said, Lo yitachin derech Hashem. The way of Hashem is not right. Hadrachai lo yitachnu Beis Yisrael. Is it my way that's not right, Beis Yisrael? Halo dachachem lo yitachin. It's your way that's not correct. He's repeating himself, and I don't know, as we had before, I'm not always sure why the repetition. There is a reason, I just don't always know what it is. Lachain ish kidrachav eshbot eschem Beis Yisrael. Therefore, each man according to his way, I will judge you, Beis Yisrael. Numa Hashem Elokim, says Hashem God. Shuvu v'hashivu mikol pish'eichem, return and return others from all your sins. You return and get others to return from all your sins. V'lo yichya lachem l'michshol avon, and then it will not be for you a stumbling block to sin. Hashlichu me'alechem es kol pish'eichem, throw off from yourselves all of your sins, asher peshatem, be that you sinned against me. V'asu lachem lev chadash v'ruach chadasha, make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. V'lama samusu beis Yisrael, why should you die, House of Israel? In the next pasuk, we also say on Yom Kippur, "Ki lo echbot b'mos hames." I do not desire the death of someone who deserves to die. Nu Hashem Elokim, says Hashem God, v'hashivu v'chnu, return and live. So, you have a question? If I have to sum up this parak, essentially the parak is saying, a person who sinned, what? Okay, yeah, well that's the message of the whole thing.
He says it, right?
But if you have to sum it up, the person who sins will die, the person who doesn't sin will, the person who's a tzaddik will live. End of story. Yeah.
Well, my question is that it just seems too black and white.
It seems much too black and white. In addition to being much too black and white, we know that it simply isn't so. Because remember, how did the parak start? We started with that the Bnei Yisrael were saying that our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents, they weren't punished for their sins. The sins were going to be punished on the future generations, which is us. Well, then we shouldn't be punished either. It'll go down to the future generations, which as I told you when we started, Rashi says in Chumash with Kayin, that that's a Kavah Chumash al Shtus. That's logic which is foolish, because then Hashem never punishes. For one second, this is all to debunk that theory. That's what he's coming to say over here. No, you Jews, you're sinning, you're going to die. That's what Hashem is telling them. It's not going to get pushed off to the next generation. But it was pushed off for so many generations. It was so many generations. That was it was all based on. They were all saying the previous generations weren't punished. It was pushed down to us. So we won't be punished either. Hashem says, no, I'm punishing you because you sinned. But he didn't punish them, and they sinned. So the whole thing seems to be contradictory in itself. That's A. B, we know, we read it in this past week's parsha, that Hashem says, he says, no say Avon Vafasha. What is it? Sorry. Yeah. What's that? Yeah. Let's get the right pasuk. How does it go? Goes. No, chesed lo alafin. He guards the chesed for 2,000 generations, and then it also says, "Poked avon avos abanim v'ashleishim aribayim," that he does visit the sins of the fathers on the second, third, and fourth generations. The Gemara says that he does hold the sins for the future generations. Now the Gemara does say that one pasuk in Chumash says, "Banim lo yumsu avos v'avos lo yumsu abanim." Sons don't die for their fathers, and fathers don't die for their sons. Ish b'chato yumasu. Each man dies for his own sins. And then here it says that Hashem visits the sins on the second, third, and fourth generations. And the Gemara itself answers that it depends whether the future generations are continuing the sin, they're perpetuating the sin. If they are, then they're punished not only for their sins, but for their ancestors' sins as well. If they're not, then they're not punished for their ancestors' sins. That's what the Gemara says. But still, you do see some aspect of the sins being carried over and the reward being carried over to future generations. Plus, you find many times that we do find punishment for future generations, where a person is punished, where the punishment is that because of what this person did, therefore in the future his offspring will suffer. You do find statements like that. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, but you do find several statements like that in Chumash, and especially in Navi. In Navi, you find it, for example, let's take the Bnei Eli in Shmuel, where they were punished, and then from then on, the Bnei Eli all die young. All future generations of the sons of Eli die young. That's what it says. What do the future generations do? They didn't do anything. It's because they're descendants of those who sinned. So we see that sins are carried to future generations. So what exactly is being said over here that no, it's the way it is? And I'll leave you with one last question. I know we're over time already. I'll just leave you with the question, and we'll stop with this. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Poked avon avos albanim," that Hashem does visit the sins of fathers on the sons. Uba Yechezkel, and Yechezkel came, ubitlo, and he nullified what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Because he said, the soul that sins, it will die. And it will not be, you won't be punished for ancestors' sins. Gemara Makkah says that.
He said, "Kod, not so fair." So
prayer
is for all time,
prayer
is for one time.
Okay, could be. All right, it could be. But the Gemara is saying that Yechezkel nullified what Moshe did. Now, we have that's in itself a philosophical problem. What do you mean Yechezkel nullified what Moshe Rabbeinu did? That doesn't compute, right? That doesn't seem right. Right? That doesn't fit in with anything else we know about. What happened to the Yud Gimel Iker in the 13 the principles of faith, right? How can you can't go nullify what Moshe Rabbeinu said? Ain't nobody Rasha the Chadash Dover Me'at, you can't go say something like that. And then anyway, what does it mean? What does it mean that are the sins visited or not? So this is a major issue. I've discussed this when we've talked about the Holocaust, and I've mentioned it as an idea of cumulative sin and all that. This is a major, major philosophical issue. And this is something which we have to discuss next week. The truth is that myself, I do have a mahalach, I do have an approach, but I myself would like to do more research before presenting it anyway. So it's a good thing that we stay on the time, and we'll do it next week. Do you have a question before we end? Have somebody have a question?
I was just trying to remember how Gilgal's play into this.
I don't know.
How it plays into it.
I don't know. Gilgal's one of those things. Yeah.
Bring what we learned together at the
I can offer. I can write a test. I wish I knew.
That's
good, very good. Good, the 10 martyrs, right? That's how we get Malchus. They were punished partially for what the 10, right? Very good, excellent. So what does that mean? Right, and they certainly didn't continue the Avera.
No, that's the challenge, but then they must have been
bizarre not to. So what is it? So it's very hard to understand. This is, we do find that sins are visited to the future generations.
It seems weird. It's just talking about the Jewish people as a whole, not individual families.
Okay, okay.
Which all the examples you gave
were individuals. That may be an answer. That may be part of the answer.
Well,
okay, so
homes are a good example of a kid that didn't do anything. They're born into a situation.
Okay, so moms is a little bit different because well, you can ask the question however you want. Let's say you have a pregnant woman who doesn't take care of herself and as a result damages the child, right? She damages the child. Is it the child's fault? It's not the child's fault, but obviously the mother, right? It could happen. So I'm talking where it's malicious. You know, where the person, you know, doesn't take care. So a parent can do something that physically damages a future generation. So a mamzer is a result; it's not a punishment, because in order to make sure that the lines stay pure, this is the rules that Hashem set in place.
Do you really think that's the way the
moms
will feel?
No, I know that this isn't to make the moms feel better, but it is the reality.
Feels like he's been punished. Yeah. Because he was out of his control.
Yeah, that's you're right, but that doesn't mean that that's correct. Right. Emotionally, it's hard to deal with, but it's not. But intellectually, that is the answer. But you're right; it's not a satisfying answer.
No, it's not.